As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, the same also shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the midst of world's troubles, whether they are caused by our anxiety over politics, economics, or personal difficulties with family or life in general, we have been reminded once again during this weekend's 40-hour celebration how God never abandons his people into loneliness here on earth. The best sign of loving kindness of Lord, our God, is that he has given us strength to stand in the face of all the troubles in the world. Receiving our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist and doing so frequently should be enough to wipe all our tears and banish all anxiety from our hearts. Since, as Holy King David has said in a psalm, "Thou hast prepared a table before me against them that afflict me. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my chalice which inebriateth me, how goodly is it." We find in the Old Testament two figures expressing this truth, one in Elias, the other in Daniel. Elias was fleeing from the wicked Jezebel, who sought his life. And after a long journey, when he was exhausted by weariness and fear, Elias lay down under the shadow of a juniper tree, wishing that death would come to put an end to his dire misery. But Lord was compassionate to his servant in affliction and sent an angel to give comfort to his soul and refreshment to his body with a cake baked on the coals, giving it to the prophet to eat. This mystic food gave such strength to the tired body of Elias and such courage to his downcast spirit that he was able, by the strength of that food, to travel 40 days and 40 nights to the summit of Mount Horeb. Here we have a figure of the strength which we do receive from the Eucharistic bread amid the troubles and persecutions of this life. The same applies to the other example. Prophet Habakkuk had boiled pottage and had broken bread in a bowl when an angel of the Lord came and said to him, "Carry the dinner which thou hast into Babylon to Daniel, who is in the lion's den." The prophet, who was not prepared to make such an urgent sick call, objected, "Lord, I never saw Babylon, nor do I know the den." So the angel grabbed him by his hair and carried him to Babylon. And when they arrived to the den, Habakkuk cried, "O Daniel, thou servant of God, take the dinner that God hath sent thee." And Daniel said, "Thou hast remembered me, O God, and thou hast not forsaken them that love thee." In the visitation of Habakkuk to Lion's Den, where Daniel was surrounded by those fierce monsters, we have another figure of the sacramental food, which strengthens, comforts, and gives vigor to our patience amid all the tribulations. And it was by the use of this bread of heaven that the early Christians were strengthened for martyrdom, the greatest trial and the most hazardous conflict to which the fidelity of a Christian can be exposed. As truly as our Lord today calls his Father Living Father, he promises life everlasting to those who eat the bread of life he has given us. And we necessarily come then to the question, should anyone refuse the Father and not take the bread he offers for nourishment, what becomes of him? I once came across a writing which put in a catalogue all the gods to which the Christians do not believe in, and put them in one column, and then the gods the atheists do not believe in the other. On the Christians' column there were 616 deities, and on the atheists' column 617. Almost everyone was there: Buddha, Vishnu, Kali, Venus, Minerva, and the rest of the gruesome congregation. The lists were identical, except that in the column of deities to which atheists do not believe, the name of our Lord Jesus was added. The page was attached with a quote from one secular personality: "We are all atheists about most of the gods that humanity has ever believed in. Some of us just go one god further." This attitude, where mere word God raises feelings of some obscure deity floating above the realms of human reason, and where you can freely choose either to worship or ignore by your own choice, is unfortunately rampant in our poor, doomed world. Most of the people still recognize that us Catholics have our right to believe into our God, but the fact that we reject all other gods of other religions or that of society, we shouldn't judge others who want only to express their own religious beliefs. What is our problem then? The problem is that while most of the religions offer to their supporters the everlasting life, in order to gain it, one must do and believe as the Almighty God commands. We say in the Creed that we wait the everlasting life, and in the Gospel of today's Mass of the Holy Eucharist, our Lord says to us that those people who eat his body and drink his blood shall live forever. Our Lord promised to give us food, the effects of which would not be passing, but would endure forever. This food is himself, and the mark of a Christian is that he receives our Lord regularly. Our Lord once appeared to Saint Gertrude, announcing her, "My delight is to be with the children of men, and moved by love alone, I have left a memorial of myself in this sacrament, so that men may think of me and remember me with fidelity. Besides, I have promised to remain with men in the Blessed Sacrament till the end of time. Hence, anyone who by his words or remarks keeps another who is not in mortal sin away from communion prevents or impedes the delight I find in coming into the heart of that person." Now, any other deity cannot claim that it gives us its body to eat and blood to drink. Just as it is a positive proof that we Catholics worship the true God, if we get to eat the flesh and blood of our Lord, then it is also a negative proof that if anyone claims to worship a true God, but does not believe he can eat his flesh and drink his blood, that person cannot worship the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of heaven and earth. And therefore, us Catholics indeed have a problem if someone worships any of those 616 deities instead of God Almighty, who gives us his body to eat and his blood to drink. We don't object the worship of Buddha, Vishnu, and the rest because they are non-gods, but because they are false gods. Worshipping them is an open act of rebellion against the Creator, against our Lord, and consists a spiritual treason, an open mutiny against the first commandment. Just as it is illegal and wrong to try to overthrow a legal government, for the greater reason, no Christian can tolerate open rebellion against the Creator of heaven and earth. Same things apply also to the deities of Judaism and Islam. As we again say in the Creed, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God. So it is impossible that the supporters of these two religions, who deny that our Lord Jesus is the only begotten Son of God and true God himself, it is impossible that they would worship the same God as us Catholics do. If anyone claims that Christians worship the same God as the Jesus-denying Jews and Muslims do, that is like a struck to our Lord's face, similar as was hit by the officer of the high priest during the Passion. Our Lord said, "But he that shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." And what about other so-called Christians who do believe that Jesus is God, but do not partake to his body and blood in the Holy Eucharist? They also go against the commandment of God. Remember what our Lord said to Saint Gertrude, "My delight is to be with the children of men, and I have left a memorial of myself in this sacrament so that men may remember me with fidelity." It is the duty of every man to try to save his soul, and therefore it is the duty of every man to receive Holy Communion. The Church is fulfilling our Lord's command and providing for the salvation of souls when she commands all the faithful to receive Holy Communion. They who do not believe in the real presence of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, as the Protestants do not, they have no part of him, because they have no firm belief in the divinity of Christ. The true believer does not ask, as did the Jews, "How can this be?" but believes the words of Christ unconditionally, because he knows that Christ is God and that with God all things are possible. So, as it is obvious to anyone who takes our Lord's command to save his soul seriously, to strive the Eucharistic union with those who openly and defiantly go against our Lord's commandment to eat and drink his body and blood is apostasy. Dear faithful partakers of the Holy Eucharist, during this 40 hours adoration, we have been reminded that by the grace and loving kindness of God, we already possess everything what the world and one world churches look in vain. All of us who worship and receive our Lord, whether here at St. Gertrude the Great or at one of our many missions, we have unity, peace, and love of God. Do you have anxiety over the fact that we are small? There is no need for that. Not even St. Peter's in Rome or St. Patrick's in this country can compete with us. Of course, not because of our strength, but because we stay faithful in God's teachings and have nothing to do with those who go after easy living with the world. After building his magnificent temple, King Solomon showed his true humility with his beautiful prayer, which put to shame everyone who have boldness to go after world's desires, exalting man and putting down God. May all you who are truly living partakers of the everlasting life in the Holy Eucharist always remember with gratitude the mercies God has shown you, and remember the humble words of the great King. Is it then to be thought that God should indeed dwell upon earth? For if heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built? But have regard to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplications, O Lord my God. Hear the hymn and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee this day, that thy eyes may be open upon this house night and day, upon the house of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayst hearken to the prayer which thy servant prayeth in this place to thee. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.